Hey, this is Robert Gibson of the Rock and Roll Express. When I'm around, I listen to the Double Dropkick Show.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And welcome to part two of WCW 1996, where Mark and I are taking an extensive look at the comings and goings, what's happening on Nitro, what's happening on pay-per-views, as we just try to dissect things that happened in WCW 1996 that may have led to its eventual demise five short years later. The last episode we were on, and if you didn't hear it, you can check it out on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, DoubleDropkick.com. You can join the discussion that's already happening about that episode on our Facebook group, which is The Wrestling You Grew Up With.
It's a great group, by the way.
Yeah, love it. Love it. Over 1,000 members, growing. One of the listen, don't believe what everybody else is telling you. We're the fastest growing wrestling group on Facebook.
I believe it.
Bar none. So our first episode, we took you through from January to April the 15th. That was a significant date in WCW because Hogan leaves television.
Right.
It's his final match on TV for several months. So this episode, we're picking up April the 22nd. Now, in the show notes, there's going to be a link to the resources where I got all these match results. I'm not, you know, I didn't watch every single Monday Nitro and write down the match results and keep the match time. No, I mean, that was so.
That took a lot of research on your part.
I had to do a lot
of research. Hey, you give me a compliment here, but it did.
Yeah,
I mean, see the information that you've got in front of you. You didn't print me out a copy.
No, that's right.
But you do have.
Because you, I don't want to bog you down. I want to give you free reign. literally, and I'm debating whether or not to put this, to put a link to this. I do. I have a 24 pages of spreadsheets of all the dates, who wrestled who, and you can go down. Let's say you pick Arn Anderson. You can see everybody he wrestled. You just go down matches he won. It's color coded. Not to toot my own horn.
Put that on there, but toot toot.
Yeah. And people may appreciate that.
People might care. People might say, hey, I want to see that Anderson and Flair versus Savage Hogan match.
Yeah.
When did that happen? And they can go right to your spreadsheet and they'll be able to find it.
Right. And this is like, instead of looking through 52 pages of Nitro results, this is kind of the one-shot deal. And if you just say, man, I would love to watch every Ultimo Dragon match in 96, this is, you know, this would be the only place in the entire world where you could find that information. Of what I put together. April the 22nd is a significant Nitro for a couple of reasons. Actually, it's not. It's just a Nitro. American males win.
Well, it's either significant or it's not. Which one is it?
I don't know. I'm doing 50.
You're going to tell it. You'll say it. You're going to wait on me to decide whether it's significant.
I got confused for a minute because it's the 29th. That's significant.
Okay, I got you.
I only want to say one thing about this April 22nd episode. The main event is a match. It's Lex Luger and Sting versus Ric Flair and the Giant. That's a match we've seen a bunch of times. Matter of fact, I think we saw that match just the week before. Mm-hmm. The thing with this match is Luger and Sting are the tag team champions. Their belts are on the line. Luger is the TV champion. That belt's on the line. Flair is the world heavyweight champion, and that belt's on the line. They have built this match. The winning team will have all the belts.
Huh.
Of course, being the bookers that they are, they have built up to this significant match. It ends in a disqualification.
They have painted themselves into a corner.
And as you know, Mark, in most situations, unless it's Halloween Havoc 95, the title cannot change hands on a disqualification.
Right.
I'm curious why Jimmy Hart didn't write that into this contract. Although his
maybe
team,
they were looking for it now.
Right.
They were reading the fine print when Jimmy Hart had something.
That's right. That's right. So we say that. There'll be a time later on in the year when somebody should have read the fine print of a contract. I'm doing air quotes. April 29th is a significant Nitro. Luger and Sting beat Harlem Heat, retain the tag titles. The Steiner brothers beat the debuting Fire and Ice, which is Scott Norton and Ice Train.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Then the parking lot brawl you mentioned on the last episode, Steven Regal and the Belfast Bruiser, that happens on this match. That's a great ongoing feud.
I think that that's when Fit Finlay gets injured in that match.
Oh, yeah. And that's a pretty, I can't remember.
It's pretty great. I mean, it's pretty gruesome. It's a leg injury or ankle injury, knee injury. I don't remember, but he did get injured in that match and he was out for a little while.
Yeah.
I think
But
when he comes back, he's cut the mullet off. And,
right.
You know.
Right. The main event of this Raw is a world title match.
Or Nitro.
What'd I say?
Raw.
Sorry. Nitro.
Listen, we're going to misspeak from time to time.
That was my one for this year.
That's right.
It's a title change. Significant is this young man's, is it his first title win? The Giant? This is his first run with a world title. He didn't win it in 95. He debuts in 95, but I don't think he ever beat Hogan for the. No, because he did win the belt. He wins
with the
belt.
Jimmy Hart on the DQ thing.
But that was kind of a screwy deal. Anyway, the Giant beats Ric Flair. If you saw when Ric Flair comes out after he retires on Raw, Big Show is just bawling.
Yeah.
And
if you've ever heard Flair's Hall of Fame speech, he said that he thought Big Show was the best big man he'd ever been in the ring with.
Yeah. If you go back, Big Show, I mean, this gimmick that he's given wouldn't work today. But back then, it was a good gimmick. He cut some great promos back then. I felt very believable. As I have gone back and been watching some of the Giant's work, 95, 96, he looks like
he's throw a drop kick.
Huh?
He could throw a drop kick.
Yeah. He got thrown off a building.
Yeah. And then lived.
Yeah. So you got a new world heavyweight champion. And then the very next week, he's going to do his first title defense. But first, we've got Hugh Morris and Randy Savage. So still, Dungeon of Doom, AI, whatever. Dean Malenko against Jushin Thunder Liger.
Mm-hmm.
Free on TV.
Yeah, it's a good match, too. Anytime Liger's in a match,
that's always a good match.
Yeah.
Sting beats Steven Regal. Mm-hmm. And in the main event, this young man has won the world title. And they're going to pull a Rocky III on him. Mickey, Jimmy Hart, going to protect him.
Uh-huh.
They were bums. His first title defense against Jim Duggan.
Yeah. Why do you always knock Jim Duggan?
Listen, that's not Jim Duggan 85. It's Jim Duggan 96.
Still think he could have beat you up.
Jim Duggan, 2016.
When we saw Jim Duggan in Charlotte, I think he could have beaten you up.
Wait, was he in Charlotte?
Yeah. Because remember, everybody, we were standing there, and everybody tried to get him to say ho, and he said, I can't. They won't let me holler like that in here, but they can't do anything if all of us do it. And everybody went, ho!
That's right, because we saw he was at Tomasi Salem couple years ago, and that's when I got back into wrestling.
So Jim Duggan got you back into wrestling, and you sitting here knocking him.
I'm knocking him as a heavyweight title contender. When he in his give me a moment
in give me a moment
in only his let's see here, I'm just saying he hasn't wrestled a lot that year.
Well,
that's his first match of 1996. His first match of 1996, he gets a heavyweight title shot.
And it must have been the cancer that kept him from wrestling.
That was a great promo, by the way,
yes,
when he comes back from cancer. Let's move on. May the 13th, Monday Nitro. Steiner Brothers beat Public Enemy. Chris Benoit beat Squire David Taylor.
Yeah.
With Jeeves. Is that, that Dundee? Was,
yeah, this is when we're starting to get into it. No, Jeeves is a different guy.
Okay.
Sir William was.
Sir William, that's right.
Superstar Bill Dundee.
Ric Flair, and what I would have loved to see this match in the 80s, Ric Flair beats VK Wall Street.
Yeah.
They're, again, they're ripping off.
Who was Mike Rotunda?
Mike Rotunda, who they're just ripping off the WWE.
Give him the IRS gimmick, but call him VK for Vincent Kennedy.
Vincent Kennedy, that's right. And then a legitimate title defense. Giant beats Lex Luger by countout. Then we get to Slamboree,
which is no longer the Legends reunion. We're right. not looking back anymore. We're looking forward. It always had featured a Hall of Fame, and
yeah.
it had featured generally one or two Legends matches, and they've now abandoned that.
The tagline for Slamboree that year, "What goes up must come down hard."
It's good old WCW right there.
They have decided to bring a bad idea that used to plague Starrcade. They're bringing it to Slamboree. The Lethal Lottery and Battle Bowl.
Yeah. What they did, and I get it, it doesn't make any sense to me. You're telling me that the luck of the draw
yeah.
had the Road Warriors having to face one another.
Right.
The Steiner Brothers having to face one another. Ric Flair and Randy Savage, who are feuding, have to team up.
Yeah.
The Public Enemy got to stay together as a tag team.
Yeah.
Luck of the draw.
Right.
Laid all that out.
Yeah.
So anyway, proceed with the matches, and I will give you what I thought about them.
First match, Animal and Booker T versus Hawk and Lex Luger.
Did you watch this match?
I did not watch it this time, but I have watched it before.
It's fun, man, because there's this build that we're finally going to get to see. Hawk and Animal. What happens when Hawk and Animal square off? And it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's great. It is great, man. Luger and Hawk push one another. Hawk jumps on Luger, and Animal comes in the ring like he's going to do something, and then he jumps on Luger. And
yeah.
They were not going to fight one another.
Right.
They have one another's back to the bitter end. They didn't care if they lost the match.
Yeah.
And when they did that, and they both start beating up Luger, that place went nuts, man.
Yeah.
Because nobody wanted to see the Road Warriors fighting.
No. And it's a double count out because yeah. everything goes crazy.
But that was cool. I liked the way they did that.
Yeah, that's one of those matches, again, looking at it on paper, and again, I mean, I've watched this pay-per-view before, but just looking at it on paper, you're like, this doesn't make any sense. But if you just look at it on paper and you discard it, which I'm guilty of a lot, I'm guilty of discarding a match of how it looks on paper. Mm-hmm. I think we're also guilty of saying, man, that'd be a great match because it looks good on paper, and it's not.
Right.
But I think what you just said, now people should go back and watch just to see that moment.
Yeah,
of
it's
Animal,
pretty cool.
Because that doesn't happen.
No.
That might be the only time it happened. Public Enemy, as you said, they get to stay together. And they face Benoit and the Taskmaster.
Yeah.
Question. At this point in time, has the love triangle occurred?
It's beginning, where a woman is teamed up with the Horseman, Sullivan and woman, Nancy Sullivan, were behind the scenes having problems in their marriage.
Yeah.
Kevin Sullivan does not, like, you'll hear the expression, he booked his own divorce.
Right.
By putting Benoit and Nancy Sullivan together. His take on it was, we were done anyway.
Yeah.
He said he doesn't really blame Benoit. He's just he was there and she latched on to him. And,
yeah.
So that's kind of his take on it, that they were splitting up anyway, that Chris Benoit might have been the added fuel to the fire, but it was going to happen anyway.
Right. And people act like that happens a lot in wrestling.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That happens a lot in real
life.
But especially wrestling, you get a bunch of, You put people on the road together, male and female. I mean, you know.
Stuff's going to happen.
You work the same schedule. I mean, I met my wife at work. You know.
The next match, again, luck of the draw. Rick Steiner and the Booty Man against Craig Pittman and Scott Steiner. How has Craig Pittman... This is what I would ask. To my knowledge, Craig Pittman has not appeared on TV.
I don't think so.
But yeah, he's in a pay-per-view match.
Yeah.
In a pretty important, going to get an opportunity. Yeah.
This match goes just the opposite of the Road Warriors. When the Steiner brothers get in the ring, it's that sibling rivalry, and they go at it. And it was great. They went 50-50, and they both hit their big moves. And then, you know.
The way it should have been. Yeah. Good booking.
And had a great little series that they did where, like I said, Scott hit his big moves, and Rick hit that big Steiner line. Hur, 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 hur.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty cool.
The next match, VK Wall Street and Jim Duggan, talk about an odd couple, defeat the Blue Bloods. So this doesn't make any...
Yeah, the Blue Bloods got to team up together.
Yeah. By luck of the draw, and you have an established, a somewhat established tag team, or at least they're a gimmick tag team, losing to a thrown together tag team. I don't...
Well, you WWF guys, man. This is what's going to be happening from now on. These WWF guys are coming in, and they're getting a lot of money, and they're the ones that are going over.
This next match, under no circumstances should you go watch it. Dick Slater and Bobby Eaton, Earl Robert Eaton, defeat Disco Inferno and Alex Wright. Don't watch it. Then the next thing.
See, I'll always watch a Dick Slater match.
Take the money.
Take the money. If Dick Slater's wrestling, I'm gonna stop watching.
I'm not going to watch it.
He's legit, man. He does the best Terry Funk impersonation ever.
Does he?
It's his whole gimmick is Terry Funk.
Oh, God. I thought you meant like talking like
him. Listen to him do a promo. He cuts a Terry Funk promo. His whole career was based on mimicking Terry Funk.
You know, now that even his walk.
Yeah. Go back and watch him. Go listen to him cut a promo.
Sounds
just like Terry Funk.
Lawler. DDP and the Barbarian defeat Ming and Hugh Morris.
Yeah. Ming and the Barbarian went at it.
I wouldn't go at it with Ming.
No. And I'll tell you a little story about Ming later on.
Okay.
As we get on into the year.
All right, next. You got another team that by luck of the draw got to stay together. Fire and Ice defeat Big Bubba Rogers and Stevie Ray. Now, I have not had an appreciation for Scott Norton. But at this point in time, he's coming off a pretty good run in New Japan.
Oh, yeah, he's big in Japan.
And so I think to judge him, like if you're just looking from an American standpoint and you're like, why is Scott Norton in the NWO? Yeah, you wouldn't get it. You look at the bigger picture.
Right. When they
Scott Norton's Japan, in the NWO.
Right. When they go to Japan with the NWO, he's a big part of it.
Right. Right. Rick Flair and Randy Savage.
Yeah.
Arn Anderson and Eddie Guerrero. Arn DDT's Eddie Guerrero.
He's back in, he's not fighting Ric Flair mode now.
Right.
Ric Flair respects him, and they've had their problem and they got over it.
So now this next match is a cruiserweight title match. And I'd have to go back because I don't even know when they established the cruiserweight title. I don't know if that was late 95.
Well, they did a light heavyweight title because originally that's when Brian Pillman turned heel.
Right.
He and Brad Armstrong had a feud over their light, but I don't remember when it made the transition to being the cruiserweight title.
Yeah.
It was like sporadically defended.
And again, as far as TV goes, no build. Like you're not telling me, how has Brad Armstrong earned? Just a random title match, what it appears to be. So now we're into...
Well, Brad Armstrong was great.
He was the best
of all the Armstrongs.
Right.
And I've talked about when you put a mask on Brad Armstrong...
He was great.
He was incredible. Yeah. I don't know why, maybe he felt like maybe he was a little shy or reserved, but he was never as good as when he wore a mask.
Yeah. To me. But he could always.
Man, you talking about having.
He had the look. He could work.
Yeah. And I talked to a guy one time that had worked some matches with Armstrong on the Indies, and he said just. He can't imagine, his words are, I can't imagine what it'd be like to work a guy like Flair as good as Brad Armstrong was. He said he was light as a feather. I never felt anything he did. When I would punch him, he would just fly across the ring like I, you know, he just heaped praise. And I heard the same thing, and he's not as well liked as Brad Armstrong was, but I heard the same thing about Tim Horner. Some guys who had worked Tim Horner on the Indies and would just talk about how good and crisp he was in the ring. And just being light as a feather. As opposed to a guy I knew that worked Greg Valentine and said Greg Valentine would just chop meat out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, put Greg Valentine in your back pocket because he may show up this year.
He might.
Then you got Dick Slater, the kind of the second round. Dick Slater and Bobby Eaton beat VK Wall Street and Jim Duggan. Public Enemy beat Flair and Savage by forfeit because Flair attacks him.
Yeah.
Or excuse me, no. Flair and Arn had attacked Savage earlier. Mm-hmm. Savage attacks Flair. This match never happens. DDP and the Barbarian beat Sting, Rick Steiner and the Booty Man. Then we get a U.S. title match. Conan against Jushin Thunder Liger.
Mm-hmm.
And Conan retains the title. So we've seen Liger two losses in a row in WCW, but good, both in good matches. So everybody who has won their tag team matches get to be in the Battle Bowl match. This is won by DDP.
Right.
And this is a battle royal kind of deal. He wins a title shot, but the next night on Nitro, you see that one of his feet touched the floor, so he loses his title shot. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why you would go to all this trouble to build a whole pay-per-view around this concept and Dusty finish it like that.
But he still got the ring. And ultimately, that ring is what got DDP over to the point where, and we'll get to it, where they would try to get him to join the NWO. I'll touch on it as we go along with the programs that he gets involved in.
Yeah.
But a lot of the stuff with DDP, you have to remember he was Eric Bischoff's friend and neighbor.
Yeah.
They lived in a few houses down from one another. Right. They were really friends behind the scenes. And a lot of this was set up to start getting Diamond Dallas Page over.
Let's talk about Diamond Dallas Page getting over. He does the next match. I'm just talking about Nitros and pay-per-views. The next match he loses is Starrcade in December.
Yeah.
He does not lose again.
And I'll tell you, he loses because the NWO jumps him.
Right.
So he didn't even lose it clean. He lost because he got beat up by Hall and Nash to set up what will happen in 97. So I don't want to talk about it yet.
Yeah. Sting gets a title shot against the Giant for the world title. Luger gets involved where he's got Jimmy Hart's megaphone. That's how Sting loses again. They're building this tension between Sting and Luger. I don't know why Sting is still giving Luger the time of day.
Sting has always been booked to look like a fool.
He really has. He really has. The next night on Nitro. Let me see. Fire and Ice against the Steiner Brothers. Double count out. Flair beats Eddie Guerrero in a great match.
Yes. Oh.
20 minutes. Great match. So any criticism I have of people's age, I definitely believe without a doubt that even at that age and that time, you put Flair in there with the right guy, and when his head's straight, boom, he can go with anybody. Yeah. Luger and Sting defeat the Faces of Fear to retain the World Tag Team titles. Let's stop right there. So you have the World Tag Team champions, but they're not in Lethal Lottery.
Right.
One of them gets a – I don't understand that. Anyway.
That's the way it is, man. We're Sting and Luger, they beat him for the titles.
No, they already were the champions. Okay. They're defending the titles. DDP beats Brad Armstrong. Again, they're starting to feed people to DDP right here. And then a title match, the Giant beats Arn Anderson. So in Arn Anderson's corner is Kevin Sullivan. Mm-hmm. So I just don't understand
the alliance to end Hulkamania.
Is no more, or what are they doing?
They're still,
Oh, well.
I think the idea was at some point we would get the Dungeon of Doom versus the Horsemen.
And that never happened.
And it kind of, when the NWO comes along,
kind of changes things. It steals their thunder in paradise. Yeah. Next week on Nitro, I'm looking here. I think at this point, Nitro has moved to 2 hours. Yes. May 27th, Nitro's moved to 2 hours. Now, this is significant for a couple of reasons. Now they're head-to-head with Raw. Are they head-to-head for 2 hours, or they're an hour early?
Seems like they went on an hour
early. I think they're an hour early. They're 8 to 10, and Raw's 9 to 11. I do know, if you read Death of WCW, that they would book the first – Bischoff would only announce the second hour once they went to this format. And he actually had a monitor with Raw. And they would often change things on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
And people just did not like that at all.
No, you can't run a wrestling card like that.
No, you got to know going in.
Even just to be the guy that's going out in the ring to work, you need to know. Because you have to stretch. And I mean, it's not like guys just sit in a chair till time to go to work and get up and walk out to the ring. There's a lot of stretching that goes on. There's a lot of getting into character. Some people don't live their gimmick. They get into their character.
Yeah.
And there's, walking around, stuff like that, man.
This is the episode that changes wrestling as we know it. First match, again, you're trying to get that, pop that rating. Flair and Arn. Who doesn't want to see them in any combination against anybody, against American males?
Yeah.
American
Up until males. The end of Nitro, Ric Flair was typically in one of the highest rated segments. Every time he was on there.
Yeah.
And it used to drive him crazy.
Yeah.
Because no matter what, that Flair was Teflon.
Yeah.
They literally buried him in a desert and left him out there, and he'd still come back and get the highest rating.
Yeah.
And it would just drive those guys insane.
Yeah.
He was the Daniel Bryan of this era of WCW. No matter what you did to him, people still loved him, and they'd still chant for him when they wanted it. You know what I mean? No matter what you did. So it's not a new thing for there to be this guy in your company that's the most over guy who's not getting used right.
The second match of the night. So if you just look at these results, you're like, boy, this is a crappy show. Well, that's because they don't want you talking about any of the matches from this show. Because what happens in the second match? Steve Dahl's only appearance on Nitro for the year, and you know why. And the Mauler, Mike Ennis, his first appearance on Nitro. Something happens while they're wrestling, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy showed. Listen, what kind of person wears a denim vest with no shirt?
Razor Ramon.
And here he is. Mm-hmm. Makes his appearance, grabs a mic, gets in the ring. This match is just ends.
It's done. Everybody, what is he doing
here? And the announcers are like, what happened to this match? What's going on? They don't know. And he cuts this promo.
Mm-hmm. I know you know who I am, but you don't know why I'm here.
And he could have stopped right there.
Very, very important that he comes out and speaks in the Razor Ramon character's accent.
And with the toothpicks.
This is the moment that WWE won the war. Because I'm going to drop a little knowledge on you
here,
a little bit. This is the moment that WWE won this war. But you go ahead. I want to tease that.
No, sir.
I know you want to know. And that's why I'm going to make everybody wait for a few minutes.
Okay.
So go ahead and continue.
He comes in, cuts his promo. And again, I wasn't watching wrestling live at this point. Didn't know any of this was happening. And at this point in time, I mean, the internet's around.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still a little bit. I mean, good gravy. They got the Pillman thing over.
They don't have their WCW doesn't even have a website yet at this point.
Right.
So the internet is around, but it's not the internet like we know it today.
So you don't know. It's not like before it happens, hey, Samoa Joe's done with TNA. He's going to be at the Ring of Honor show this
Sunday night.
Right,
and he's already signed with WWE. And he, right. So you know all
you
this
don't know any of
a
that.
Few days. Here, everybody knew that Hall and Nash were leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Most people knew
yeah.
that they had left because it had made the sheets, obviously. Yeah. If you didn't read the sheet, if you read the sheets, you knew what was going
yeah.
on. But the wrestling magazines were a couple, or you know, at least a month.
Yeah.
Usually more than that behind. Yeah. The sheets, the curtain call made was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, when you, I know you know what the curtain yeah. call is. And for those that don't know, it's when after at Madison Square Garden on Diesel and Scott Hall's last night there, they had both had matches with Triple H and Shawn Michaels yeah. respectively. And then at the end, they all broke kayfabe, so to speak, and they all came out to the ring and embraced, and they had all been feuding heels versus baby faces. And they raised their hand.
Yeah.
Triple H, very important for this year, was scheduled to win the King of the Ring. And you couldn't punish Hall and Nash
because
they were leaving. You wasn't punishing Shawn Michaels because he was the champ. So they punished Triple H. And the way they punished him was you don't win King of the Ring. Austin wins King of the Ring, cuts to 316 promo. The next night, signs start showing up that say Austin 316.
Game over.
And it's over.
Yeah.
This war was over before it got started.
Yeah.
Because of arrogance and ego.
Yeah.
And I'm there again here in a minute. I'm going to tell you a little old tidbit that a lot of people don't know.
All right. Well, I okay.
I know it's been driving you crazy since I told you last night I had something to share with you.
So I'm just going to run. So the rest of the card doesn't matter. I just want to throw it out there. DDP, the push of DDP continues against a strong opponent in Sergeant Craig Pittman. Another title match. The Giant, I don't understand the booking, defeats the Shark. Mm-hmm. They're just giving out world title chances to everybody. TV title match, Lex Luger, who to our knowledge has not defended this title in quite some time, defeats Max.
He's defending the TV title at house shows.
Yeah, yeah. Bobby Walker beats Brad Armstrong. Bobby,
it's a hard work, Bobby Walker.
Hard body.
I thought he was hard work.
I don't know. Everything.
Maybe he's been both. I don't know.
Hard luck.
Yeah, like hard luck.
This
Bobby
is
Walker.
One of. I think he wrestles twice on TV this year. Steven Regal beats Alex Wright, and then the main event for Nitro that night, Scott Steiner and Sting fight to a double DQ. Nobody cares about any of that. It's all about Scott Hall.
No, it's all about Razor Ramon.
Sorry.
Understand.
Sorry.
This is not about Scott Hall.
It's about Razor Ramon.
This is about the WWF
invading
WCW.
Yeah.
Don't be misunderstood.
I apologize.
About what they were trying to make people believe, because it is important.
Yeah. The next week, hold on a second. The next week, does Hall come out again the next week?
I can't remember. I remember that. I think he did, yeah, because he did the Sting said, you know where you are? You in the jungle, baby. And then he slaps him. That's when Sting slaps Hall.
Okay.
It's either the next week or the week after that. And he starts talking about how he's got another friend coming.
Right. Well, okay. So that is the third. And because the 10th is when his other friend does come. But let's. Right. So the third, John Tenta and Big Bubba, who wrestle like four times in 5 weeks. But
so he's not Shark anymore. This is when he cuts the I'm not the Shark, I'm John Tenta.
John Tenta. Okay. Faces of Fear beat.
And there was a. This was.
Sorry.
He went from being the Shark to John Tenta because there was a decision made by Eric Bischoff that if they're doing the cartoon thing over there, let's be real over here. And everybody used their real names. and things like that. Let's try to make it seem like we're real here. And so that's why he said, I'm not a shark and I'm not an avalanche and I'm not an earthquake. I'm John Tenta.
So they basically, okay, so you say that, all right. You say that, all right, we want to be real. You're going to use your real name. The next match is Faces of Fear, Ming and the Barbarian. But they're against High Voltage.
Do you know Ming's real name?
No, no, no. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about their opponents.
Oh, High Voltage.
Yeah. Chaos and Ruckus.
Right, but they're the under. We're not talking about, they didn't flip a switch tonight. And everybody start using their real names. But there was a decision made. Let's try to be a little bit more realistic and get away from some of this cartoon character stuff.
Right, right. Craig Pittman gets a win against Disco Inferno. Steven Regal beats Jim Duggan. Kevin Sullivan beats Prince Iaukea. Flair and Anderson defeat I don't know if you'd call him returning, Rock and Roll Express.
Okay.
To my knowledge, Rock and Roll Express wrestle less than 10 times. They wrestle a few times in singles. I don't know that they win a match.
No, I think Hall and Nash beat them, right? Later on in the year, a bunch of people beat them, yeah.
The Giant beats Ice Train, who was part of Fire and Ice. Scott Norton beats Hugh Morris. And in the main event, Sting and Lex Luger fight the Steiner Brothers to a no contest because I think that's when Scott Hall comes in and all that kind of stuff. Because at this point, nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah, Scott Hall didn't come in. Razor Ramon did.
I am so sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I apologize to the wrestling audience.
It's important.
It is important.
It's important.
Yes.
That this is not Scott Hall. This is the mannerisms and the characteristics of Razor Ramon.
Yes.
Who is representing the WWF.
Yes, yes.
On invading WCW.
So the June 10th is when the big surprise happens. I want to... a couple of matches I want to touch on. Giant defends the belt against Scott Norton. Again, they're just feeding him different people. Billy Kidman debuts and loses quickly to Steven Regal, Public Enemy. Again, who are they wrestling? Nasty Boys. World Tag Team title match. Luger and Sting beat Arn and Flair by DQ. And then the show is getting ready to end. Razor Ramon appears. Bischoff gets scared, kind of stands up to him. And looking back 19 years later, this segment just does not play well.
No, it doesn't. It's kind of awkward.
Because Hall, when he appears, the live crowd and the TV crowd see it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the crowd murmur.
When Razor Ramon appears.
Razor Ramon. Here, you see Razor Ramon pointing behind Bischoff, and Bischoff not winning an Oscar anytime soon.
No.
I'm right here. I mean, any fool, if somebody points above your head, they ain't talking about you.
Right.
But by this time, the crowd's already popped. Yeah. That moment's already happened, and sure enough, there's Big Daddy Cool, Diesel.
With that big hat on, that big trucker hat. That's the word. Why? Somebody should have said, wait a minute. Take the hat off.
Take the hat off.
Before you go out there, man. He was like, I had never before seen him wear a ball cap.
No.
And for some reason,
I don't know if he was trying to hide in the crowd.
Could be. You know, that could have been what it was. I don't know how a guy who's 7 foot tall was going to hide anywhere.
And then he grabs the mic, Mark. And
in a classic moment,
he says, this is where the big boys play, huh? Well, notice the adjective, play.
Yeah.
We didn't come here to play.
Yeah. You're a grammar Nazi. So go ahead.
You listen to that Kevin Nash promo. And then... you want to come on our Facebook group, you want to call me on Twitter and say, well, Roman Reigns can't talk, so he shouldn't get to be in the main event at WrestleMania. Go watch this June 10th Kevin Nash promo. Skip to the end.
Yeah.
Listen to that promo. And then you come talk to me about how Roman Reigns can't talk.
Yeah. Check out the adjective.
Please. That was definitely something where somebody had, I don't know. But it's hard to believe that just 3 years before, we're talking about Oz.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like this guy went and had this long, amazing, he had a great run.
Yeah, oh yeah, he had a
great run as Diesel. I'm not gonna say that. But it wasn't like this great.
It wasn't a Hulk Hogan style
run. No, I mean, yeah.
But he was a main eventer.
Yes,
and absolutely. He was a world champion.
Yes.
And it was a big deal when they came
to
WCW.
Yes, because you got two of the top four stars.
Yeah.
The other company has sent two of their top four stars.
Yeah.
To invade your show.
Yeah, and they're bringing more guys with them to hear them tell it.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's going to be a war, Chico. He said it.
Yeah.
You want a war, Chico?
Yeah.
He said that when he was Razor Ramon.
Yeah. So when does we get to June 17th? I'm trying to remember. What week does the Million Dollar Man?
This is later on. Yeah, yeah. Hogan. Yeah, this is.
That's after even.
That's after, yeah.
Sorry, I apologize.
Yeah, you're way, way ahead. Let's just skip to the Great American Bash because that's what's important. Is there something that you feel like happens at Nitro that's got any
significance? I just want to throw.
Any semblance of mattering
before
we get to Great American Bash?
The only thing I want to throw out, two quick things from June 17th Nitro. Rey Mysterio makes his debut against Dean Malenko, and they put on a good match for the Cruiserweight title. And then the Giant, again, beat Scott Steiner. So they're just feeding guys to the Giant. And he's, unlike other wrestlers who become world champion, the Giant actually defends his title on a regular basis.
Right.
So June 24th, Nitro, Arn and Benoit beat the Rock and Roll Express again.
Okay. Beating up on them Rock and Roll Express, ain't it?
Harlem Heat and Harlem Heat on this June 24th win the tag team titles.
Okay.
So that's a title change. One more, then we'll be at the bash.
You can't help it. You're like, dang it, I got all this stuff together. I'm going to read every one of them.
Two things I want to point out about – sorry, I apologize. Three things that real quickly. July 1st, 1996 – There's some singles matches. Randy Savage beats Greg Valentine, who has appeared out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. The Giant defends the title against John Tenta. So he's now beating the Shark and John Tenta.
Right.
Then there's an 8-man tag team match. The Four Horsemen defeat Joe Gomez, the Renegade.
Oh, no.
Hold on a second.
Did it not print out the...
No. We missed something.
No, we didn't. you might have missed something. Where are you at?
Hold on a second.
That's the problem with 40 pages of notes.
No, but we missed when McMichael joins the Horsemen, when he turns on Kevin Green.
That's the Great American Bash. That's why I told you to the Great American
Bash. But McMichael's in the Horsemen on July 1st.
Then you skipped the Great American Bash.
The Great American Bash.
Was there another page? Hang on. Let me go to my one pages.
All right. We missed something.
We went from Slamboree to Great American Bash. At Great American Bash, McMichael and Kevin Green Flair and Arn.
All right, so we didn't talk about Great American Bash. Somehow we missed
That's what I'm saying. You skipped.
How did I miss that?
I don't know. Do you not have it in your 40 pages of notes?
No, I don't. All right, so I want to apologize on behalf of the show. My fault. I was missing the results. So we missed the Great American Bash by about 2 weeks. We're only going to backtrack to there's only two things you need to know about the Great American Bash 1996. Number one, Arn and Flair are wrestling Kevin Green and Steve McMichael. Famous for two things. Arn does the promo where he's like, man, my muscles don't even fit in this football jersey. Yeah. And Steve McMichael turns on Kevin Green. And
yeah, they bring the case out. Deborah leaves she's wearing like the Chicago Bears gear.
Yeah.
And she leaves.
Yeah.
And she comes back with Woman and Elizabeth, and now she's not wearing the football wife getup anymore. She's wearing the beauty, the sequin gown and the crown, and she's carrying a briefcase. She shows it to McMichael. He opens it up, and it's full of money with a Horseman t-shirt laid on top.
Yeah.
He closes it. Kevin Green says, "What are you doing?" McMichael hits him in the head with the case, throws up the four fingers. And it was such an incredible moment in pro wrestling history. I'm glad we spent a minute finding out
so
even though I told you that it was on there, I know you had to confirm it.
So, all right, the other thing that happens at the bash is Razor Ramon and Diesel confront Eric Bischoff.
Okay. And Bischoff asks them the very important question, do you work for the WWF? And they said, no, we don't. So we have to clarify that this is not an invasion. This is not Diesel. This is not Razor Ramon. These are the outsiders.
Yeah.
But I still don't think they've referred to him by name.
No.
At this point.
No.
And they powerbomb Bischoff.
Through the table.
Through the table. The reason he had to ask them.
Yes.
This question and establish it is because now a lawsuit is in the works.
Yeah.
These guys, you're using our intellectual property. It's the first time I'd ever heard anything about intellectual property, which basically meant you take this guy with the toothpick and the Scarface accent. We develop that.
Yeah.
Here, we own the trademarks to that. We own the rights to all of that.
Yeah.
That whole package. And you're using it to lead people to believe that we sent him down there. And there's a huge lawsuit that takes place over all this intellectual property. And in that lawsuit, there's a settlement that's made.
Mm-hmm.
One of the settlement items, remember I told you WWE won the war the minute that Scott Hall walked on stage? Little bitty, just thrown in at the end because nobody thought it would even happen.
Yeah.
If WCW ever goes out of business, WWE has the right to bid on anything that it wants from your company.
There's the nugget.
So one of the very smart, and they of course agreed to it because who would have thought that the great Eric Bischoff and the great Hulk Hogan would ever have a company go out of business. They were so arrogant.
Yeah.
They agreed, okay, if we ever go out of business, you guys got the right to bid on all of our assets.
And the price.
Oh.
It's like $4 million.
It's debated, but whether some people claim it's as low as $2 million and it's as high as $5 million.
Well, what?
It's
what,
no more than $5 million.
What I read was that it was it was like $2.4 million for the collection, the archive.
Okay.
And it was, so what did I say, 2.4 and then 1.6 for the assets.
Okay.
And this is only a few months. Like Bischoff's trying to buy WCW for hundreds
of millions. Well, it's not hundreds of millions, but it's
substantial sum.
Yes, it's like 30 or 40 million that they have put together the investors to buy this company, and he would have run it. He had investors to back him, and then AOL decides they don't want
wrestling on TV,
and the investors say, well, without the TV slot, this other stuff's not worth anything to us.
Yeah.
So now Vince, because he's got this clause in that contract, he has the right to offer a bid up on all of the stuff, and they accept it.
Do you remember where you got that little nugget from, or do you just keep that in your back pocket?
Yeah, there's part of being who I am is I do kind of have to.
You dig.
I dig.
You dig and protect your sources.
And I'm going to tell you what, I don't just read it on Reddit.
Right.
If I find a piece of information.
Yeah.
That I think is right. And when I found this, I immediately started drilling down.
Yeah.
And I found it after really looking for it. I mean, I've checked out law sites that have cases on them.
Nice.
Things like that. So, yeah.
We're not just telling y'all a bunch of fibs.
I do a little investigate.
Yeah. We went back to talk about the Great American Bash because we got to July 1st. Nitro.
I'm going to sit back and drink a little water now. I just proved why I'm...
Why
I'm Notorious B.I.G. and you're P. Diddy.
Hey, just so you know, B.I.G. is dead.
Well, that's true.
They're still making money.
Okay, that's why I'm Chuck D and you're Flavor Flav.
I want to talk about this great eight-man match that happens on Nitro. The Four Horsemen. You're going to pop a rating. Four Horsemen and eight-man match against just this all-star team. Joe Gomez, the Renegade, who has become the poster child for D-Pushed.
Yeah.
And the Rock and Roll Express, mm-hmm. again.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Express are just being fed to the Horsemen.
Yeah. And later on, it would be Hall and Nash, and everybody would beat the Rock and Roll
Express. So, the dark match, after all of this, is Flair versus Savage. So, it's like they didn't put that match on TV. They give us this.
Well, there's that smart idea now that maybe we don't need to be giving all of these matches away for free every week because people are going to get burned out on seeing them. And they were right. Then they did. And people are, you can translate that to today. People get tired of seeing the same guys wrestle week in and week out. And then they get to the pay-per-view and they wrestle again.
Yeah.
And I've already seen it.
Yeah. So here we go. July the 1st is the go-home show to Bash at the Beach. July the 7th. 1996, a day that will live in infamy, a day that non-wrestling fans took notice,
yeah,
and said, "Do what?
Huh?" Are people that had followed wrestling,
right?
That's an this got people back into wrestling.
Yes, it did.
What?
No,
you're kidding me. You know, and that's, it brought a lot of eyes back to the product. And then they started flipping back and forth between the two. And then WWF got hot and they stopped flipping back as much because they were doing the same thing every week. But for a time, this was a hot shot angle.
Yeah. Right here. Yeah. You know? This is what you were watching. So you're a WCW fan. The build has been that the main event at Bash at the Beach is going to be Luger, Sting, and Savage. Stop right there. Luger has already proven over the past 6 months, 8 months, he cannot be trusted.
Right. But now he is WCW born and bred.
Right. And don't they all come out wearing the Sting face paint?
Uh-huh.
But you're tuning in because they're facing Hall and Nash and a mystery partner.
Mm-hmm.
And with everything that's happened, who could that be?
I don't remember what I thought at the time, but I think people might have thought it was going to be Shawn Michaels.
Mm.
Maybe.
Right.
I don't remember. I don't remember what the prevailing thought was at the
Again,
time.
Again, I've told
but
you
it was, even if it wasn't, man, who's it going to be?
July 96, I was traveling on ministry team, happened to be at a camp in Georgia, representing Southern Wesleyan University, and the guy told me, oh, yeah, Hogan just turned bad. I'm like, no, he didn't. Yeah, what are you talking about? But
I was watching it live.
But to get to that main event that they have built to, that you are anticipating, this is what you got to go through. Rey Mysterio and Psychosis, their first match, great match.
Oh,
Psychosis introduced.
Psychosis is one of the better luchadors,
absolutely,
in my opinion. And he and Rey Mysterio had great matches in ECW.
Then we get into the gimmickry of it all. John Tenta beats Big Bubba in a Carson City silver dollar match. There is a bag of silver dollars hanging from a pole. Neither one of these guys can get it. And Jimmy Hart ends up
it's a pole that's like 30 feet long. There's no way that either one of these fat asses is climbing that pole. You know what I mean? It just ain't going to happen.
Somehow they pulled 9 minutes out of that match. DDP beats Jim Duggan in a tape fist match.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nasty Boys, again, facing Public Enemy, double dog collar match.
Mm-hmm.
Dean Malenko beats Disco Inferno for, you know, defensive cruiserweight title. Steve McMichael, they got to get him over. He beats poor old Joe Gomez.
Yeah, old Joe Gomez.
Now, this next match is significant. I'll talk. Flair, out of the blue, beats Conan for the U.S. title.
Yeah.
Then the Giant and the Taskmaster defeat Arn and Chris Benoit. So three matches in a row featuring the Horsemen. All that's just an appetizer.
Uh-huh.
You get to this main event. And it's a 2-on-3.
Mm-hmm.
And the two, they take out Luger first, right?
Yeah, Luger gets stretchered off.
Hall and Nash.
Originally the plan was that Sting would join them.
Yes.
That was what Hall and Nash wanted, but then they convinced Hogan to do it. Sting really didn't want to do it.
Right.
So they took a lot of talking to get Hogan to do that. It was not easy to convince him.
I don't know if you probably do know this.
Yeah, I probably do.
Hogan's contract was coming up.
Yeah.
And as you know, he was off shooting a movie during this time. And, you know, they're kind of like, man, we got this other stuff going on. Do we really need
Hogan?
And I think he was kind of feeling, he sees the writing on the wall that if this goes the way it could go, I'm bumped down a notch.
Yeah, they don't need him because he's already got a bad reputation.
Right.
With a lot of guys.
So now, to me, he signs a new contract with creative control.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to turn heel. And if you've listened to our top heel turns of all time, this is there.
Yeah.
Hogan comes out at the end. The announcers go wild. Bobby Heenan has never cheered for Hulk Hogan. Going nuts. Hogan comes out.
No, he doesn't.
Does Heenan? Oh, what does Heenan say?
Heenan says, yeah, but whose side's he on? Bobby Heenan spoiled it before it happened.
Oh.
Yeah, but whose side's he on?
Yeah. And then Hogan, the ring is clear. Hogan drops the leg.
And the place goes nuts.
Yeah.
Initially.
Yeah.
Because this is whatever. I went nuts. I think I could be wrong. I think I watched this with Charles E. Privet.
Charles.
Seems like we were sitting there watching that.
Yeah.
And I remember high-fiving when Hogan turned heel and like jumped. We were like, yes, you know, finally. And then he cuts that scathing promo.
Yeah.
And everybody started throwing trash at him.
And that becomes a thing for the NWO after this. They just, like, that has not, typically that doesn't happen.
No, and it shouldn't.
Because there comes a time at Halloween Havoc, people start throwing stuff, and the Giant is like in front of Hogan blocking stuff with his hands.
I don't know why. I remember going to a show a year after this, maybe, and they made the announcement, like, you do not throw anything in the ring.
Yeah.
If you start throwing stuff in the ring, we will escort you out. You won't get your money back.
You know what you don't want to get hit with? Nachos and cheese.
Boy, you're right. Ask old Tank Murdoch about that.
So, just one of the most shocking things in wrestling.
Yeah.
The most shocking turn ever.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. I don't think many people would disagree. There was a turn, El Hijo, we're talking about American wrestling, but El Hijo de Santo turned heel in Mexico. And it was pretty shocking when he turned Rudos, but... I mean, we're talking about American wrestling here. That was a real shocking moment down there. But American wrestling, that's probably it.
So, where do you go from there? The next night on Mean Gene comes to the ring, and this is still when guys just didn't randomly have a mic. Mean Gene was like the mic stand.
Yeah, it wasn't like, hey, somebody get me a mic. It was Mean Gene catching him on the ramp. Huh? Steve McMichael, you've got some explaining to do.
And Hogan does. Now, and here's the thing. Hall and Nash don't get a word in this promo.
Are you talking? We're still at Bash of the Beach.
Still at Bash of the Beach, because there are a few things I was thinking about. So again, it has been months since Hogan's been on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the hottest angle you've ever had. The universe is shifting away from Hulk Hogan, and with one leg drop, now he is again.
It's what any great wrestling promotion used to do. You have a top star, he has a babyface run, then he turns heel, then he has a heel run, and then he goes away for a little while, and he comes back as a babyface. That used to be the norm in wrestling promotions.
Correct.
And they just followed that formula.
But what I guess what I'm asking is, how do you think Hall and Nash, I mean, Hall and Nash, they're getting paid.
Yeah.
But there's got to be something in them of, especially with Nash. I mean, he had just been a world champion mm-hmm. in WWF. And now he's kind of, they're playing second and third fiddle now.
There are two types of guys
right.
in the wrestling business. There's guys like Bret Hart who mark out for being champion. And there's guys like Hall and Nash who mark out for making money.
Gotcha.
That's all they cared about.
Gotcha.
They did not. Scott Hall said, you make friends, you make money, and I got friends.
Right.
I want to make money.
Right.
That. Don't
so for
think
them, they're like, Hogan,
Kevin
you can
Nash
take
was a mark for toting the belt around.
No.
Kevin Nash was a mark for them putting that money in the bank.
Yeah.
That's all he cared about. They didn't. Don't be mistaken for a minute in thinking that those guys cared.
Right.
That they had been champions.
So they don't. Okay. So, but I'm. But again, they have built this angle.
Mm-hmm.
And now. Hogan
kind of Bigfoots it.
Yeah.
They were still getting paid, and they were smart enough to have a clause in their contract that said anytime somebody signed a new contract, if you pay them more than you're paying us, you got to raise our pay to match theirs.
And I wonder.
So if Hogan signed a new contract for more money than they made, they just got paid what Hogan got paid. Those guys, I've heard Kevin Nash talk about it at length. They did not care. All they cared about was making money.
Yeah. And they did well. So the next night on Nitro.
Wait a minute. Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
How far into this show are we?
We're an hour.
You want to think that's a good stopping point? Or do you want to do the rest of the year? Because if that's not a good stopping point, I don't know what is.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. We're kind of calling this all in the ring.
Yeah.
As we've been going through.
Yeah,
so let's stop.
Yeah,
so
I
let's stop right
good,
there.
Good
so, because from here on out.
We don't want all our shows to be 2 hours long. That's
no. That's
for
see? That's good. You got a mind for the business. All I'm doing is hit and record. I make sure your mic is turned up. I make sure your drink is full of water. I make sure you got a Miss Freshly's Creamy Curl Honey Bun.
Which I'm going to eat here in a little bit.
Well, it's hot dog time, too.
It is. It's hot dog 30, so we need to wrap this thing up.
So we're going to stop there because from here on out, it's the Monday Nitro the next night is the reaction to
mm-hmm.
the NWO.
And things start getting hot.
Things start getting hot. I agree with you. Things start getting
and then
hot.
They cool off pretty quick.
Huh?
And some of it stays hot. For a while.
Some
a
of it, and then some
off.
Of it just starts going
yeah,
downhill.
Some of it's not great.
Like, as I said, to me, that was, looking back,
mm-hmm.
it's never going to get as big as when Hogan drops that leg.
No. I think that's the peak of that.
That is the peak.
Yeah.
Because
it can only go downhill from there. What do you do after the shocking Hulk Hogan turn?
Right.
But to his credit, Hulk Hogan took being a heel and ran with it.
I agree with
you. And he was a good heel.
I agree with you. But what we're going to see is I want to pose the argument that from 95 to 96, nothing changes except that Hogan's a heel.
Right.
He's still going to
beat everybody up.
He's still going to be the superhero.
And there's a, when we get to it, we'll talk some about just how I think about booking wrestling and
yes,
things like that. Cause yeah, you're right. There's a difference though, when you're the conquering babyface and
right.
when you're the heel
yeah.
and where it's supposed to be.
And Flair,
and it'll run you out of business.
And Flair had some good comments, I think, about the difference between the NWO and the Horsemen that I want to talk about.
Okay.
So this has been WCW 1996 Part 2. We're through Bash at the Beach, one of the most shocking turns in wrestling history. Join the discussion. Hey, if you haven't listened to Part 1, that took you through the first couple months of 1996. We don't know how many episodes this is going to be. We've done research. We want to take our time and just telling you everything that was going on. So join the conversation. Go on our Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With. You can tweet us out at Heath Mulliken and
at The DDK Show.
Go to DoubleDropKick.com. If you want to know where we get a lot of our, probably the most trusted wrestling information, there's a banner above this post for the Figure Four Online Wrestling Observer Newsletter. It's $10.99 a month. I'll go ahead and tell you, if you click on that banner and order, we're going to get a little kickback from that. I will tell you, it's a good $10.99. You will not be disappointed in the amount of information that you get. It's printed new. You know, you can print out the newsletters. It's audio. It's just a lot of stuff from Dave Meltzer and his crew. Brian Alvarez, great. Brian Alvarez, actually one of the authors of Death of WCW, which is has been a great resource in preparing for today. But now we are prepared to go eat some hot dogs. So make sure you download this episode. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. Listen, none of these 4-star ratings. No. We're Dynamite Kid and Tiger Mask. We get a 5-star rating. So go do it and be on the lookout for WCW 1996 Part 3 coming soon. As always, on the Double Drop Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I want to wrap this thing up with a quote. Maybe Tony Schiavone's greatest call. For Bobby the Brain Heenan, Mean Gene Okerlund. For Dusty Rhodes, for Heath Mulliken, for Tony Schiavone. I'm Mark Whitman, and Hulk Hogan, you can go to hell.